All right, guys, what's up? It's Seth and Tony coming at you from Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. And Tony, feels good to finally be back.
It does feel great. it's been a while since we've been on here together, hasn't it?
It's been a minute. I had some family things that I was working through, losing a grandfather, got over COVID myself. Just had a lot going on lately, but excited to get back to it. We kind of have our annual Fly Into the Hoop preview. A little breakdown action, you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. It's my favorite thing to do on this podcast is when we talk it, because that's where we really started this podcast, was doing that.
Right, because we talk about it, we break it down a little bit, but then when we're there, we just kind of get to soak it in. We don't try to write articles and do all sorts of stuff. I mean, you always do a wrap-up. We always do a wrap-up of sorts, but we're just there to enjoy basketball after not having it last year. And everything else that's gone on, I can tell you, I've been looking forward to this for nigh on 2 years now, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. So I'm glad there's a lot of great games this year.
Yeah, really good lineup. Top to bottom, I think when we originally looked through it, there's not really a down day per se. I know we had started to talk about that last year a little bit. Looked like it was going to be a really good lineup before everything got called off. Mm-hmm. But I think every day is pretty balanced in terms of the games. You get a little bit of national action, a little bit of local action, at least on the three full days.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the two highlight sort of prep schools on Friday night to kick the whole thing off, mm-hmm. which is probably where we're going
to
start. Yeah,
I think that's a good way to start it. So why don't we kick it off?
Let's kick it off. So game one, we've got ISA Academy coming out of sort of the northeast area, east-ish Ohio, and Link Academy out of Missouri. Now, Tony, we just pulled up circuit things as of week 8 from the season ticket. And Link Academy is the number 2 prep school in the nation, according to these guys, at 21-0.
And it's very deserving. They, if you look at their roster, they are loaded with Division I talent. They've got guys committed to LSU, Arkansas, Ohio State, Michigan, you name it. I mean, they are just loaded with talent. I know some of their top guys, Omaha Billu, I can't pronounce his last name, but starts with a B.
Billu, something like
that. Julian Phillips is the LSU commit. Jordan Walsh is going to Arkansas. Felix Okpara to Ohio State. Terrace Reed, Michigan. I could just go on and on. This is a very talented basketball team and very deserving of that number 2 ranking. And again, when you've played 21 games in the schedule they play against, I know they've played in some of the bigger tournaments across the country. They've already beaten a Huntington Prep. They beat an ice school who was supposed to play and fly into the hoop last year before it got canceled. Very good program out of there.
It looks like they've taken out Prolific Prep already. They've already taken out Dream City Christian, who we'll talk about here in a second, although not in the way we would like. They're kind of mowing through it. Clearly, they've got Division I talent. It looks like they've got a lot of height. I mean, I go down, I'm seeing 6'8", 6'9", 6'7", 6'9", 6'10". I mean, there's hardly a kid that's under 6'3 on this roster. There's a few in here, but you're going to see a lot of height out of these guys, right?
Absolutely. That's what you get when you get these Division I prep schools. And they're going to be tasked with taking on an ISA team from Willoughby, like you said, up in Northeast Ohio. They don't have as big of the names as Link will, but they definitely have some guys that can compete. Everybody knows Mike Sheriff Jemps. Pronounce his wrong.
Mongolian
wrong every
Mike.
Time. Mongolian Mike.
Mongolian
I like that better.
Mike.
He just committed to the University of Dayton last month, so he's really the headliner for that team. You got guys like Jared Frey, who was formerly at Hilliard-Davidson, got a lot of low major looks. Larry Kosciusko from McNicholas.
Yeah,
Magnus Intamin. He's a top 50 kid probably in the state. I mean, they got guys that can play, but obviously they're not as high profile as Link Academy. But ISA hasn't been a bad team themselves, and only being a team for, I think, about 4 or 5 years, they've really made a name for themselves, especially at this tournament.
Yep. So certainly will be a great game to kick the whole thing off. But I think we're on the same page. We think Link's coming out of here at 22-0.
I think Link comes out 22-0. I would agree with that.
Okay. Sweet, sweet, sweet. I kind of figured that was going to be the case. when you're the number 2 team in the country, in the prep circuit at least, you're doing some damage.
Yeah.
So game 2 was originally slated for year in, year out, team in Huntington Prep against sort of a newer program, I believe, with Dream City Christian out of Arizona. However, Dream City Christian getting pulled due to the old vid. We knew, you had to anticipate that something was going to happen with, 20 games being played. The way the world's going right now, you kind of thought something might happen. Kind of unfortunate that this is one of the casualties, though.
Unfortunately, but I think we're both in agreement that we would really rather have a game than no game. So instead of playing Dream City Christian, Huntington Prep will get Flight Prep from here in Dayton, the post-grad school started by Chris Wright. So let's start with Huntington Prep first. They're a lot like ISA in that they're going to be loaded with talent, loaded with guys that can play, Division One basketball. They are ranked, I believe, number 8 in the poll, if I remember correctly. Maybe it's a little high.
No, I don't.
Actually, I don't think they're ranked. I'm getting them mistaken. They're not ranked currently, but I mean, I would probably put them still as a top 40, top 50 team in the country. You can't really rule them out very often. I know they got a kid, Makai Johnson. He's a junior. Already got offers from a lot of high major programs. Very, very, very good guard out in West Virginia. Really, this Huntington Prep team, like you said, Seth, they're here year in and year out. They're always seeming to be competitive, whoever they get faced up against. And I think it'll be no different this week, Friday, when they get Flight Prep.
Yep. And for Flight Prep, I mean, we know they're coming out here with a lot of local talent. As Chris Wright started that program, kind of based out of the Trotwood area, he's pulled a ton of kids from here locally in Dayton, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Chance Amerson, Patrick Ivory, Tyler Monahue, Alan Lattimore. That's just a few guys. Will Hill from Meadowdale.
Yep.
A lot of guys from a year ago. He pulled in a couple guys from out of state as well. Camden Easley, I believe he was from Florida. He was a Central State commit before he went over to Flight Prep. And, Coach Joey Gruden has these guys, had them playing a pretty tough schedule, playing a lot of the JV programs from some of the colleges locally, as well as playing some programs like Elevation Prep. And don't know if you know this or not, Seth, these guys actually faced each other earlier in the season. Huntington Prep did play Flight Prep. Yep. Did not go in Flight Prep's favor. I believe it was just scrimmage, so I don't know if
I don't think it was a tallied one for the year.
It won't go on there, but they did play scrimmage earlier in the year. Did not go well for Flight Prep. I believe it was about a 30-point loss.
Yep.
So they're going to have their hands full. Good news, you obviously know your opponent. You know what you're getting into because you played them once.
Yep.
Bad news is Huntington Prep's a lot like a molar. It's hard. If you play them twice in the same season, it's difficult to beat them even one time. So they're going to have their hands full going up against that program that's got so much talent on the roster.
Yep, definitely. So I would imagine, I mean, we're likely going to see another Huntington Prep victory over Flight. But will be an exciting chance to see those local kids, see how they've developed over the course of the last year. This is sure to be a high-flying. I'm imagining both of these first couple of games on Friday night are going to kick off, That's why they call it flying to the hoop.
Yep.
with some dunks, some alley-oops, all sorts of crazy stuff. But first two games kicking off the night, even with the Flight Prep substitution for Dream City, I think we're looking at a great Friday night and started off with 4 and 5 stars all over the court.
Gotta love it.
Yep. All right, so moving into Saturday morning, we start off with one of the newer traditions to fly into the hoop, which is the Saturday morning girls game. In years past, they've pulled a lot of really good girls teams, or at least had them scheduled. Unfortunately, I think the last couple of years outside of last year with the COVID cancellation, I feel like the girls game was the casualty of a lot of the snow days lately. But we get a chance here to see two local girls teams come out here. We get the Tri-Village girls taking on Bellbrook, which both teams seem to be off to a pretty hot start, Tony.
Yeah, not much known about these teams. I do know Tri-Village has a girl, Riley Sagister. She's committed to Marshall. She's the daughter of Tri-Village's boys coach, Josh Sagister. So she's a really good player. And I know that another girl, Morgan Hunt, is got a D1 offer, some D1 offers as well. That Tri-Village team, they may be D4, but they know how to compete. Bellbrook, I mean, they've always been a staple of local girls basketball in D2, always been competitive. Even if they don't make deep runs, they're always a tough team. So I think they'll definitely give Tri-Village a challenge for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're starting off pretty hot heading in here. I know one of the updates that we saw from, I think, the official Flying to the Hoop page a couple of days back, I think now closer to the beginning of the year, but coming out of December, looked like they were around 10-0. Okay. At least that's what they had posted. And they've got some good quality wins over, Beaver Creek, who's usually a pretty good girls program. And got a lot of girls, a couple of girls, about three of them ever in double digits.
Okay.
So far this season. So certainly will be a great way to start off Saturday morning, and getting the girls involved, Tony.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
If we had to take a pick here, you got Bellbrook, Tri-Village. Who you got coming out of that one?
I mean, knowing now that Bellbrook was 10-0 at least, when you, that update you told me about, mm-hmm. I'm gonna probably go with Bellbrook in that one.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that's probably the way to go. Just due to the divisional differences, although Tri-Village brings a lot of talent, so that could be a really, really good game.
It's going to be a great start, like you said.
Cool. Moving into the second game on Saturday, you've got a pretty good team coming out of Columbus in Afrocentric, and you've got one of the local boys teams here in Oakwood, who's got a number of kids that are going to make this game really interesting.
Yeah, Oakwood, and you know, before we talk about the kids, let's talk about Oakwood as a team. They're 10-1 right now, number 8 in the Division II AP poll. They've been on a tear. You take away a loss to Alter, they would be undefeated right now. They have just been phenomenal early to start the year off. Obviously, dominating in the Southwestern Buckeye League, having really not many close games to start off. I think their closest game was against Bellbrook, maybe by like 5, and Bellbrook's a solid program. But you talked about the guys, and man, they got a three-headed monster in Will Maxwell, the leading scorer in the Southwestern Buckeye League, Keon Wright, who's also top 5, and then Jack Epley, who one of the more under-radar point guards in the Southwestern Buckeye League.
Absolutely, and this will be a really interesting game. I'm interested to see how Oakwood can match up with what you can probably expect to be a pretty athletic team out of Afrocentric. They had a couple of guys that were averaging close to 20 points a game. They're going to be looking to make a run come state playoff times. They've got, looks like Dan Wagner and Dalen Swain are their two-headed beast.
Yeah, Swain, especially the junior, he's got high major programs all over him on the basketball court. Very, very good player. That's going to be a very interesting kind of dynamic watching that, because Swain's going to bring a little bit of length on that perimeter. Oakwood, they've played zone in the past. Not really sure what Afrocentric looks like as a shooting team, so do you play that zone to try to shut down Swain, keep him from getting going? Dan Wagner, like you said, another really good athlete as well. Both of them, when you got two kids that can score almost 40 points a game between the two of them, you're going to have to really be locked down on the defensive end and be ready for an up-tempo game, because Afrocentric will look to push the pace.
Absolutely. So another really good matchup. Again, I think Flying with Hoop organizers got a good one set up here. It's going to be a heck of a game. And we know, Oakwood only losing to Alter, and Afrocentric having a couple of setbacks to Wayne.
Yep.
Locally, and over, I guess they've played Huntington as well. Has Afrocentric. If you had to pick a team coming out of here with the W, who are you riding with?
As much as I'd love to go with the local team in this one, I mean, I think Afrocentric athletically is going to have enough that they can get by in this one.
Okay, I'll take it. I think it's well-reasoned. However, I think this game's going to be extremely competitive.
Oh, 100%.
And if Oakwood can come out here and set the pace and try to make Afrocentric play their game, you could see him pulling off an upset. This will be a very telling game to see how far Oakwood's come since matching up against Alter. It really will probably start pushing the momentum for Oakwood. If they can get a win here towards that second half of the season, as they start to really get into the bulk of their schedule, and before we hit playoffs here in just a short number of weeks, look for Oakwood to make a heck of a game out of this
thing. Absolutely. We saw them give Trotwood a battle last year in the sectional tournament. I mean, they're capable of doing it. So absolutely, if they're able to lock down defensively, it's definitely going to be a great game.
Cool. So moving on to game five, the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. This was another one that was supposed to be slotted by Dream City, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Against Shaker Heights. ISA is is filling in for them against Shaker Heights. So we'll get to see Mongolian Mike and his team out of Willoughby for a second time. What's Shaker Heights bringing to the table, though?
Well, they're 5-2. They've been, I think, a little bit of a sleeper in Northeast Ohio this year. You know, they haven't really jumped off the page in terms of, you know, getting a lot of recognition at the state level, but you know, they do have a very, very talented senior guard in Danny Young Jr. He's a Cleveland State signee, very, very good playmaker. He's got a good teammate in Kellen Smith, the junior guard, right in there next to him. Those two are really going to lead this offense in terms of bringing the scoring power. Biggest concern with the Shaker Heights team, though, is they don't have a ton of height. Did watch him against, who was that they played? In the Cleveland Play-by-Play Classic, watched him on live stream. Didn't appear to have a ton of height, so that does concern me a little bit. Because ISA, I mean, Mongolian Mike stands at 6'8", and that's your guard.
Right.
They're going to have some size. Magnus Intamin, 6'10". They're going to have their hands full in terms of securing the boards. But Danny Young Sr., the coach, he's got his team ready to play anytime Shaker Heights comes here. They haven't been here since Issa Ahmad, who was at West Virginia before he, I think, is playing overseas. So it's good to see Shaker Heights back, and it'll be a good matchup for sure.
Absolutely. So who comes out of here with the W then?
I got to go ISA again.
Got to go ISA.
Yeah.
Just that prep, the prep school, the competition that they play, the height, probably going to take over.
I think so.
Lead them to a victory. Okay. No, I'd say good call. Good call, though. Again, another good matchup by the organizers. As we dig more and more into the schedule, you see just how well they've slotted a lot of these games.
Absolutely.
So heading into game six, I think, is the 4:45 game. You've got Wheeler out of Georgia, who, as of a couple of weeks ago, was in the top 20 nationally for public schools. So they're going to bring a lot of talent. They've been to fly into the hoop before. We've seen them play. Really, really good squad. And they're going to be taking on St. Ignatius, Tony, who after last year coming off of a Final Four appearance, break it down for me.
I think Iggy has been off to a little bit of a slow start, but like you said, I think expectations were so high after they made state Final Four a year ago that they just haven't really matched that just yet. I mean, they're sitting at 6-3. It's not a bad place to be by any means, but I think a lot of people did think this team was going to be, you know, undefeated, top 10 in the state. Currently, they're not. But I will say this, they're very young, but they are probably one of the deeper teams I have seen in the state this year. Between their senior, juniors, and sophomores, they probably have, if I had to guess, 8 to 10 kids, scholarship athletes. So, you know, plenty of guys that can play at the next level. And that's what you need to compete at flying to the hoop. You know, their sophomore class especially is where I think they get a lot of their talent. Calvin Little and Carter Jackson are their two best guys, really the leaders of that team. They got other seniors like Jonathan Eferts. They do have a 6'10 big man, CJ Yarian, who I think is a Division II prospect currently. You know, they got plenty of guys that they can go to, and they're going to get that Wheeler team, Seth, that they're pretty dang good.
Yeah, they're coming off a 2027A state championship out of Georgia. They had knocked off a previous number one earlier in the year. So they're certainly playing tough schedules, and they've got a lot of five-star. They got a lot of firepower, led by, I believe, five-star junior Isaiah Collier.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other guys in here with some height that are going to make this a really, really good game. Although, I don't, in my opinion, when I take a look at it, Wheeler's going to be bringing in just a little too much firepower for Iggy to hang.
I think I would agree with you. I think that, you know, this will be a lot like what we were talking about in some of those the Oakwood Afrocentric game with the size and then the athleticism. I think Wheeler definitely has that advantage.
Yeah.
But Iggy does have the size, I think, to counter it. with the Arian and company, but I just don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, and you look at Wheeler's losses. I mean, they've lost to McGarren, who we've seen here before, who's a Georgia powerhouse. Montverde, who is I think, as of the last rankings, was number 5 in the nation in the preps or in the in the prep circuit, as well as Duncanville, who's another, I believe, another powerhouse. They're number 12.
Yeah, very good team.
So you've got a team coming in here on Wheeler that I think the level of competition that they've played at last year and just the depth and the firepower that they have is going to overpower Iggy for sure.
I would agree with that.
So that'll take us to game number 7. We get 2 Ohio teams here. We get local team in Wayne taking on Pick North, obviously, out of the Columbus area. Will be a good chance for Wayne to get out here and see what they're made of this year, Tony.
Yeah, it'll be a good bounce back for them. They're currently riding a 3-game losing streak, including losses to Fairmont, Centerville, and Fairfield, one of the better teams of Cincinnati.
Still, those are 3 really good local teams that they've just not been able to quite keep up with.
Yep.
Especially when you got a guy like Laurent Rice on the court.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of question marks about what this team was going to look like, who Laurent was going to have around him. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shown and kind of evolved that they do have some guys around him that can play. James Cameron, another senior hardworking player. Emil Wagner, their big guy, a Notre Dame football commit. The Warriors are still a very relevant team, but they're getting a Pickerington North program that their highlight so far this year, they're one of the few Ohio teams that has beaten St. Vincent St. Mary, the top Division II team in the state, who we'll talk about later. And they've got a freshman, Arnis Lawson, that he might be next up as one of the next best players to come out of the Pickerington area.
Definitely. I think I had seen out there that he was averaging right around 10 points a game, but was already holding on to at least one D1 offer out of OU.
Mm-hmm. Just recently got that offer.
So we'll look definitely another good game, I think, in terms of when you look at the on-the-court product, it should be very competitive. Mm-hmm. If you had to take a winner, who's it going to be?
My gut was going to say Pick North, but I think this is Wayne. I do think this is Wayne's bounce-back game. I think they get it back after this or on this game, and I think they will find a way to pull this one out.
Dang, hot take, Tony Peters.
Hot take, I'm pulling.
Hot take, all right, well. We'll see how it plays out Saturday night.
Who's your pick, Seth?
That'll be one. I don't know. When I take a look at some of the numbers here that the guys Pick North putting up again, you know, that's they're putting out on the court, knowing that they have beaten St. Vincent St. Mary's, Westerville Central, Hilliard Davidson, you know, other pretty good Central Ohio teams. I would have to say that just stacks up better. Than what Wayne's got. You know, if Wayne had been able to take out, you know, a Fairmont or a Fairfield, although close games, you know, there's something to be said about getting over the edge, getting that W, but this could be that game for Wayne, but I would have to ride with Pick North. Okay.
That's a fair.
Just in breaking it down that way, but again, I think it's going to be a close game. Martindale always puts a good product out there for Wayne. I don't think this will be any different.
I agree. So, I think it's a fair argument.
Fair argument. Cool. All right. So that takes you to the Saturday nightcap. You've got Link Academy, again, number 2 prep school in the country, taking on Huntington Prep, who's kind of had a bit of a rocky start this year. I think I had seen when I was digging into it, maybe 6-5, something like that. But they obviously play a very, very tough schedule. So we kind of talked about the teams a little bit already. We certainly know who they're going to be bringing out here. So maybe let's just decide who we think is going to come out of here with it, unless you want to expound any further on either of them.
I don't think we need to expound. My grin on my face is because you thought my last take was a hot take. I feel like this one is even more of a hot take.
Bull. You're not going there. Really?
I'm going to take Huntington Prep in this one.
You're going to take Huntington Prep, taking out the number 2 team in the country.
Huntington Prep is no stranger to coming to fly into the hoop and giving teams challenges.
You're not wrong, but dude, you think Link's going to walk out of here 22-1 after winning Friday night?
There's something in my gut's just telling me that's what's going to happen.
Oh man.
Oh. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it.
Tony Peters. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. Mark this at 24:30. 24 minutes and 30 seconds into this thing, you think we're seeing a national upset? Another Finley Prep getting taken down?
If it's happened once before, it can happen again.
All right, well, hot take it is, my friend. Unfortunately, for the Saturday games, I'm not going to get to be there in person. I've got a family wedding to go to. So that gets me really, really excited to come back Sunday morning for what I think, as far as local games, is one of the games I'm looking forward to the most. Mm-hmm. That is the Sunday opener. Two D4 teams locally, Botkins and Tri-Village.
This is as good as I could get.
I think so.
This was a home run.
And I think it's fantastic that they get paired up on a stage like Flying to the Hoop. Everybody thought we were going to get to see this matchup last year in the playoffs. Cedarville and Isaiah Ramey and those guys came out and knocked off Tri-Village before we could get this matchup. And that helped pave the road for Botkins to win their state championship last year. Botkins had been undefeated up until recently, where they dropped one. But these guys, this is going to be a heavyweight bout between two local D4 teams.
Arguably, you know, two of the best teams in the state. And when you get to D4, arguably, yeah, by some outlets, I don't even know where to start with this. I mean, let's start with Botkins, I guess.
We'll start with the reigning state champs, certainly. You know, lost their head coach after he went up to Lima Bath. You lost your starting point guard and Jaden Pretty Powell, but you're bringing back the Plyman brothers,
yep,
who, with their size and versatility, just cause issues. You've got hot shooter in Jameson Meyer, and you got some size in Dylan Top back there, kind of banging around down there. These guys put a really good product on the court, but Tri-Village is a beast of its own.
They are, and they have played a brutal schedule to, yes, start this season. I mean, their first game of the year, they're a D4 school in little sector of Northwest Ohio, and they're playing Mason, one of the biggest school districts in the state, in their first, yep, game of the season. You know, they played those guys. They played Fairland out of Division III. They went over 400 miles round trip to play Fairland and still came out with a close loss. This team has a stud in Lane Sarver,
yeah,
who leading scorer in the WOAC right now. He's got so many guys around him. Josh Scantlin in the interior. Guard play from Dalton DeLong and Wilson Suggs. Tri-Village right now, they're starting to find their groove after a little bit of a, I don't want to say a slow start, but those losses early in the season. They have, you know, we talked about some of those losses. They do have a good win. They did beat Meadowdale back in December.
Yep.
And they've just blown through everyone that they have faced in the WOAC. And like you said, Seth, I mean, they're a heavyweight, simply
put. They're a heavyweight, and they can certainly put the ball in the bucket. I think taking a look here, their last game, they broke 100 points. They won 102-30. That's a 72-point win out of D4.
That's domination.
That's absolute domination. That looks like a Trotwood score from a couple of years ago, where people were like jaw dropped. You won by 70. You won by almost 100. Mm-hmm. That's pretty stinking crazy. But it's going to be a battle. I'm very interested to see what I think is going to be the matchup. Is going to be Carter Plyman probably matched up against Sarver.
You think Carter will guard him?
I do. Because I think he's got enough size, but he's a little bit more mobile. Who else are they going to throw at him?
Jacob.
Potentially, depending on. But does Sarver try to stretch it out towards the perimeter more and make Jake come chase him?
That's true, but I could see Botkins just wanting to throw a big body on him to bully him around, too.
And it may be the case. You get up in his face, but I think Carter's got enough height and has got maybe a little bit of an extra step than his older brother to stay with him, and I think can get up in his face a little bit more. I'll be very interested to see how they come at him and tackle him in this game.
All right, Mr. Kime, here's the million-dollar question.
Million-dollar question.
Who do you think comes out of this one?
Oh, brother. Oh, brother, 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 brother. My head wants to say Tri-Village just because of top to bottom. My heart wants to say Botkins, We know the run that they went on last year. We got to know those guys really well last year, just through everything, being there to see a lot of their games, especially in their playoff run. And I know they've had this game circled because they didn't get it last year. My hot take. I think Botkins is going to come out of here with a win. I know they just recently dropped a game. And you're looking at me with that look like, you're completely crazy.
No,
are you riding with Tri-Village?
I thought that was interesting you went that take. I actually also thought Botkins was the favorite in this one.
Okay.
Only because you talked about Tri-Village's ability to score. That's true. But watching both these teams play, mm-hmm. Botkins has got a very good defense.
Yes, they do.
And Tri-Village struggled against very good defensive teams. Meadowdale gave them fits. So mm-hmm. I think Botkins, like you said, they had this game scheduled. They've been prepping for it. I think they're going to come out of here with a little bit more energy, and they're going to find a way to win this game.
This game, cool. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page. Not quite that hot of a take. You know it's going to be a packed house. Both of these teams travel extraordinarily well. This is going to be absolutely no different. I'm really, really looking forward to this game. This might be like my start game of the weekend. I don't know about you, but for me, this was one that I was most excited about.
It's pretty cool. I'd say this is second. I think the Monday night finale, which we'll get to, is probably my game I'm looking forward to. But this is definitely top two, no doubt, in my mind.
So we'll move on. We're up to our double-digit game. Game 10, second game, Sunday morning. You've got Dunbar taking on the Buchtel Griffins out of also Northeast Ohio area, right?
Yes, Akron. Yep.
So we know we saw Buchtel a couple of years ago. We know that they lost Livingston, who we originally thought might have been back. Then he's going here, he's going there, he's going everywhere. Break this one down for me.
Well, like you said, Buchtel lost Livingston. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought this team went from a state contender to maybe they win a regional title. Mm-hmm. They got to come out. They got to go through St. Vincent, St. Mary to win that regional. But they lost Livingston, mm-hmm. but they added several pieces. They got Coy Thurman and Amir Robinson from Copley. Okay. Thurman played on the North, the Blue Chips with Gabe Cups and Bronny Jr.
Okay.
They got Christian Harmon, who is an in-state. I think he was from New York that he moved in. Very good scorer. They had MJ Boyce coming back, who had a really good year on the circuit with C2K Elite. My point is they had a lot of pieces come in. They lost a big name, but they have a lot of guys that also stayed together. That makes this team a very dangerous team. Watched them against St. Ed's at Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
Lost by one, but had St. Ed's beat for most of that game.
Nice.
Buchtel's not a team to shake your head about. They are a very athletic group. They are, in my opinion, one of the top six or seven teams in the state in Division II.
Okay.
And they are going to be a very tough matchup for this Dunbar team.
Yes, they are. Dayton Dunbar, you know, coming out of here, it looked like in the last couple of years that they might have been throwing some pieces together. You heard, you know, these guys are going here, someone's going there. You know, Tony Dixon's squad's always going to be scrappy. You know that for sure. I think they're coming off of a big win against Rossford.
They beat Rossford.
If I saw that right.
Back in December,
it's a good win. It's a good win on their schedule. And they're going to be bringing out a couple of guys here that are very athletic. They're going to play very upbeat, very fast, as is very typical. Who are they going to do it with?
Anton Allen is definitely their top guy. I believe Anton was out. I don't know if he was injured or if something else was going on there. If he plays, he'll definitely be another option there. They got a freshman in BJ Hatcher who's kind of come off the bench and starting to find his way. Picked up a transfer in Hollis Terrell from Troy. They got a couple different guys that are definitely athletic. And we'll see if that can match. But, I mean, even with that athleticism, you're going up against a Buchtel team. Harmon 6'5". Robinson's, I think, 6'6". Thurman's only about 6'3". Point is, Buchtel's got some size themselves.
And it's going to be a tough matchup for Dunbar.
I think it's going to be a barn burner. This game will probably be in the 80s, 90s, but I think Buchtel will come out of this one.
I would have to agree with you there. Definitely going to be a very interesting matchup. But it'll be a good game.
Absolutely. So
it'll be a fun game.
Good second game.
So we'll move into game three on Sunday. That's the 3 o'clock game. You got Garfield Heights, again, coming out of Northeast Ohio with Coach Johnson, I believe.
Sonny Johnson,
crowd favorite. And then you've got them taking on a powerhouse out of Columbus in Pick Central. And this one's going to be fun.
Maybe.
Well, I know. It should be fun because at the very least, you're going to get some high-flying, soaring action.
Sure.
Definitely. You know that watching Pick Central play.
Right. And this Pick Central team is good.
Yeah, they're real good. they got some size, and they got some athletes.
They just beat Gahanna Lincoln last weekend.
And Sean Jones.
Who was probably the only other team up until that point I thought could beat Centerville.
Yep.
And run for a state title. You mentioned some of their talent. Pick Central has Devin Royal.
Yep.
High major kid all over the place. Yep. Sonny Styles, Ohio State football commit.
Yep.
You got Gavin Headings. You got Josh Harlan. Plenty of guys that know their role, knows how to play well. And this Pick Central team, they're just very good, Seth. There's really not much more to say on that. They're
really good. They're really athletic. They're really fast. And they play like they're angry.
Absolutely.
They just go. And they're taking on a Garfield Heights team that's kind of had a bit of a slow start, coming out this year. Part of that, I believe, was due to Sonny Johnson Jr. being out. Did I see that right?
Yeah, he was injured. I don't remember what he had going on, but he was injured there because I watched them last week and he didn't play in the game I watched.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been out. They've had a lot of good seniors, though. I mean, Terrell Jewell and Tavion Tatum have really been their two kind of biggest pieces that have stepped up in Sonny Jr.'s absence. And those guys are big. They're very big guys. That's actually one advantage I think Garfield Heights will have in this game is their size.
Yeah.
But you
can they jump as high as Sonny Styles?
I don't know about that or Devin Royal. I mean, they're going to – put it this way. Sonny Johnson's programs – can play up tempo if they
yes,
need
they
to.
Can.
So they will be ready and adjusted to that. My big X factor will be, does Sonny Jr. play? Because if he plays, that gives Garfield, I think, a better chance of being able to win this game.
Absolutely. He's a game-changer type of player. We know that. We saw that a couple of years ago when he was first getting on the court, playing alongside his cousin, Michi. So this is definitely going to be – it'll be a fun game to watch. If Sonny Johnson, if Junior plays, I think it'll be a better game. But with that still being up in the air, I mean, we got to say Pick Central's coming out of here with a W, right?
I think so.
That should be a pretty much a lock. Not a lock, 100%, but very, very high likelihood.
High confidence that that's going to happen. I agree. Cool. I would agree.
But we'll be fun nonetheless. So then we move on to our 4:45 game. This is another one that you could circle as potentially being one of those top two or three games of the weekend, certainly in terms of competitiveness. You've got state powerhouse in St. Vincent, St. Mary's coming out of Akron against Fairfield coming up from the Cincinnati area, who's been extremely good in their own right this year, that have a number of guys. This one's going to be a showdown.
I think this is probably, like you said, this might be the game of the event, honestly, with the firepower you're going to have. You start with St. Vincent, St. Mary. You take away the loss to Pick North, and you take away a pretty tough loss to Sierra Canyon.
Yep.
And they haven't lost a game since then.
Nope. They've beaten Moeller, Richmond Heights, and Gahanna Lincoln.
Yep. Seven straight wins since that's happened. Sincere Harris, the Illinois commit.
Obviously,
he's filled
leading the way.
He is filled what they lost in Malachi Branham. Put it that way,
which is huge. That's incredible.
Yes,
to even say that he was able to pick up where Branham left off.
Right, but they've got a great starting five with Harris. You know, Ramar Pryor, Cleveland State commits in there. Very good two way guy, Darius Stratford, and then Kevin Hamilton, L.A. Hayes. They got a lot of really good players that know their roles and they understand that they have to play their role if they want to win games.
And you've got the pedigree of Drew Joyce heading you up. Oh, it wouldn't matter, really, the five guys that he put on the court because you know they're going to be coached solid down to their the way they tie their shoes.
Yes, exactly. But
Fairfield's going to give them a game, though.
Yep, 12-1 right now. They just beat Lakota East on Tuesday night.
Yep, big win.
Loaded with talent. You got
Logan Woods.
The Wright State commit.
Yep.
Yep.
Deshaun Krim. Who else we got down there?
Colin Tolbert's probably. Yep, he's Tolbert, one, top, yep. One of the top scorers in the GMC right now. They got Amir Rogers. He didn't play when I saw them at the beginning of the season. I don't know if he's playing now. I don't know what he had going on then. Mm-hmm. If he's playing, he's one of the best rebounders in the state.
Yep.
You got DJ Weirich as the head coach. You saw what he did at Vandalia Butler, turning that program around.
Yes, he did.
He has had no issues turning this Fairfield team into a contender. And
you got that three-headed monster to lead. It makes your job a little easier, but great job nonetheless, for sure.
And they've won every – their only loss is a three-point loss to a St. X team that's very solid right now.
Very, very
good. So they don't – they're very competitive too. I think if there's a team that's got a shot at beating St. V, it's Fairfield. They definitely have that chance.
Mm-hmm.
But with St. V and the pedigree they have, I can't pick against them.
Right. I mean, there's other teams in that are also playing in this tournament that are out of the Ohio teams that could give them a very good game. You know, a St. V Centerville game would be extraordinarily good. You know, teams of that pedigree, you know, I think Fairmont would give St. V's a good game, too. It'd be close.
That might be your hot take.
That might be my game. But there are a couple of teams here. Fairfield, Centerville, Fairmont are all going to be those teams. But those are all D1 powerhouses. St. V's is marching towards what looks like could be another potentially 10th state title, depending on who they run into. Maybe a Bechtel in the state playoffs. But I guess we'll have to wait and see for that one.
Yeah.
But... who are you taking?
Like I said, St. V.
St. V's, you got to be.
I can't pick against them.
Can't pick against them, but this is going to be a great game.
Great game.
Absolutely. Barn burner.
Top three. Go.
All right. Next game. Game 13. Probably one of the game. Another game I'm looking forward to, but might be the player that I'm looking forward to see the most in Sean Jones from Gahanna Lincoln taking on Brush.
And you know he's going to be angry because they just lost that game.
No kidding.
Central last weekend.
No kidding.
Sean Jones, no stranger to the big stage. He's always plays great in these big games. He's going to, you know, have no issue this time around, too. Gahanna Lincoln, very senior heavy. That offense is a lot of the hype goes to Jones.
Yep.
But people sometimes forget they've got Javon Simmons. Yep. University of Toledo commit. They got Josh Whiteside, another really good big. LJ Dees has turned into a really solid Division II caliber player. Gahanna Lincoln's got a lot of guys that buy in. And with them being seniors, they're not going to go down easy without a fight. And you take away a handful of losses here and there. I mean, there's still a damn good team.
Well, a handful of losses. I mean, St. V's and Pick Central, those aren't bad losses.
Not at all.
If you're going to lose to teams, and they were close games too. They weren't big margins. And they were winning at a crazy clip before that. The margin before those games was huge. And they're taking on a Brush team that's not bad either, Tony.
Nope. They got a good three-headed monster. Marlon Barnes, Tyler Williams, and Elmore James. And that's not even all their players. They're just like Lincoln. They've got a lot of good talent too, but a lot of their other role guys are kind of more underclassmen, minus Antoine Wolf, Orkers, or Rutgers commit.
Yep.
But this team, you know, they've got a lot of a very good talent around them. Their seniors they have are competitive too. And Brush has played a brutal schedule. You look at who they've played against this season. You know, they lost to St. Ed's, a close one. Mm-hmm. But some of the teams that they've played, let's see here.
Catholic in Indiana.
Or Cathedral, yeah.
Yep, they play. Cathedral,
Richmond,
sorry.
Richmond Heights. You know, this is a good team, needless to say. Now, the question being, is that enough to beat a Gahanna Lincoln fresh off a loss to Pick Central? I don't know about that.
Right.
I'm going to probably have to go with Lincoln.
I would have to go with Lincoln. Again, I think they're going to come out. I think they've got a game with, is it North that they play? Because they've just played Central. They play North or have played North. Pick North. Gahanna has coming in here. Either way, they're coming off of a recent loss to Central, and they're going to be playing with a little bit of extra fire, as if they needed any more fire anyways.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great game. There's a lot of talent. When you talk about two Ohio teams out here that have a top to bottom of talent that's really, really good. There's not a ton of more games in this showcase that are going to have as much as this game.
I agree.
But, I agree with you. I think Gahanna's coming out here with a W.
It's hard to pick against them.
So that'll take us to game, our 14th game, the sixth game in Nightcap for Sunday. In another one of those that's going to be circle it, star it. We're going to see what Centerville's made of. As of a couple of weeks ago, Centerville was still ranked 10th nationally for public schools. I've got to believe that they've probably gone up since then.
Sure.
The latest rankings we could find were from a couple of weeks ago. But they're taking on a really good team of their own, who's the number 6 prep team in the country in SoCal Academy.
And they've added two big names in the last 2 weeks to make them even better. Dior Johnson, the Oregon commit.
Yep.
And then today I just saw they added Vincent Iwuchukwu, who's going to USC.
And who's a 7-footer.
Yep.
So we get to break the 7-foot mark again and fly into the hoop. This is going to be probably one of Centerville's toughest tests of the year. Centerville's playing a friggin' brutal schedule this year. I mean, they still got game. They got this game. I think they still have a game against Huntington Prep themselves later in the year.
They play St. V, I know that.
Centerville's putting themselves through it. You talk about Coach Cupps wanting to see what his team's made of all year long. This is just one of those checkboxes, and this will tell you just how for real Centerville is.
If you can come into this place and beat SoCal Academy, I think that'd be a statement to show just that you still are that number one team. I think some people, with Pick Central beating Gahanna Lincoln, I think some people started to think that's enough. But you got Gabe Cupps, Tom House, Rich Rolfe.
All of them.
They know how to buy in, and that's what makes them such a good team.
And, again, led from the top down in Coach Cupps.
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be interesting in this one. Who's your take?
Oh, jeez.
I got to let you go first.
I know you do. There, as much as my heart wants to say Centerville, when you take a look at a team like SoCal, you see where they're ranked, you see all of the D1 talent. Now, granted, Centerville's got just as much D1 talent out there. You look at SoCal, you've got a Michigan State commit, a USC, two USC commits, Oregon, Ole Miss, Stanford. These aren't low majors. Now, Centerville's got their own in Cupps going to Indiana, House going to Florida State. We're yet to find out where Rolfe might end up, but this is going to be a tall task for Centerville. I think SoCal's coming out of here, but look for this to be one of those Finley Prep Wayne type games from a number of years ago where you've got a top 10, you're looking at two top 10 teams nationally, the prep team in SoCal, the public team in Centerville, and by God, I think SoCal's going to win this game, but I'll be screaming my head off if Centerville can pull this off.
I think any take anybody has in between these two is a fair take. I already took my upset for the day, so otherwise I would take Centerville in my heart. But I think that, like you said, the SoCal team, adding Johnson and Iwuchukwu, I think is definitely what gets them over the edge to be able to knock these guys off.
I think so, because if you're looking at their roster, if you had to look down and see, okay, where are they lacking? They didn't have, not that their other point guards are bad, but when you add a Pac-12 commit in Dior Johnson, and then you bring in more size than you already had with a 7-footer. I think size of 6'9", 6'5", 6'3", 6'5", 6'7", 6'6", 7-foot. Not that Rolfe and House don't have size, because they do, but after those two, there's not a ton of height on Centerville's roster. That might be their downfall.
I agree.
All right, so with that, we're going to probably break off here, save the Monday games for another segment here, just because we've got recording breaks. So it'll take a quick pause, and then we'll be right back. All right, so we said we'd be back with the Monday games. So we're just going to keep rolling. Monday opener, another good matchup here. We got Pace Academy, again out of Georgia, taking on another local powerhouse, usually year in and year out in Trotwood. Break this one down for me, Tony.
Yeah, Trotwood, I think, you know, like you said, Trotwood typically a powerhouse. This year, they look a little bit different. They're very young.
Very young.
Four sophomores they started in a game I watched against Withrow. But their sophomores are talented. Delamar Blanton, Will Yates, definitely their 1-2 punch. Timmy Carpenter on the block. Very, very talented team. You look at some of the teams they've beaten, you know, Dayton, CJ, beat Withrow.
Stivers.
Yep. Well, Stivers only has one win right now. Wow. So, you know, they've found ways to win games they need to win. That youth is what I think will be ultimately what hurts them during the end of the year. But they get a Pace Academy team very familiar with flying to the hoop.
Again.
Very successful team out of Georgia.
Yep.
They also have quite a bit of talent. They got a local commit out of UC and Josh Reed. They got a few other guys in the senior and junior class that, you know, bring that Division I caliber experience. And, you know, Trotwood, it'll be an up-and-down game, I think, Seth.
Yeah. I mean, and you know that they're always going to play. Trotwood's always going to play with pace. That's just the style that Rocky brings to the table. I'll be interested to see the style that Pace plays with. But will be a great way to kind of get your blood moving to cap off the showcase on Monday. And that'll lead us into the second game on Monday, which is up to our 16th game of the showcase. We get to see SoCal again coming back against Massillon Jackson. But I just realized we didn't pick our team from the last one. Pace, yeah, probably going to take
pace.
Out Trotwood.
I take Pace, yeah. Take a step back, yeah.
So, second game, 1:15 on Monday. Again, Massillon Jackson taking on SoCal. We've talked about SoCal a little bit. I think we can pretty much expect SoCal to win this game just because Massillon Jackson, although good, still not quite up there with the Centervilles in terms of competition or the other prep circuit teams, right?
Yeah, they've underperformed, unfortunately, to start the year. I think, you know, some people had them top 10 in the state preseason.
Well, they won 20-some-odd games a year ago. They're bringing back a number of starters. I mean, generally, that's a pretty good recipe for continued success. But certainly will be interesting to see what they can – how much of resistance they can put up.
Yep, but end of the day, SoCal wins this one.
Yep, I think that one's pretty cut and dry. So the third game of the day, the 3 o'clock game, you get Combine Academy out of North Carolina, who I do believe is also ranked nationally. They were at, where were they at?
16th.
Whew.
In the country.
Prep school, taking on local team out of Cincinnati, who's got a lot of firepower in their own right in Taft.
Woo!
Tough.
Good game at 3 o'clock.
You're going to see what Ravon Griffith is made out of. That's for darn sure against competition like this. We know what he's made out of, but you talk about holding yourself up to a meter stick and seeing just how tall you are and just how big your britches are. This will be a game for him to really put his skills on the court.
Not just for him, but another former local standout, yep. Makai Elmore. Missed Absolutely. Half the year last year because he transferred from, yep. from Thurgood. It'll be interesting to see what he does with a full season under his belt. Taft has a lot of, ultimately, they got a lot of weapons. Kieran Branville, who's a freshman, 6'8 freshman, has been phenomenal for the Senators so far early in the season. You know, the Taft Senators, I think they're arguably one of the top two teams in Division III in the state.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the AP poll disagrees, having them at 10 currently. That's a conversation for another day.
Although not completely unwarranted when you go back and look at history. History's against them a little bit.
That's true.
You know.
But this team, I think, is definitely as talented as they were a few years ago, which is what you're referring to back in 2019 when they ultimately
didn't. The Stivers lost, right?
The Stivers lost, yeah. Yes. So, you know, I get that, but they'll obviously have their hands full with Combine Academy, like you said, nationally ranked team. They've played some very good teams. They played Compass Prep out of Arizona, Moravian Prep. They've got some guys playing Division I basketball next year, and Jaden Epps and Patrick Wessler. But is that enough to win this game?
I think it has to. I mean, when you're talking about a prep school that's 16th and their three losses, I don't believe would be considered bad losses by any stretch. And from what you can see, I mean, you got losses to AZ Prep, you know, Compass Arizona Prep. Compass Prep, and some other nationally ranked teams. Again, it seems like every year we see these national prep teams that play these huge schedules, travel all over the country. It's just a different animal when it comes to the type of competition that these guys are put up against and with the competition that a team like Taft is going to see on a yearly basis. I'm also looking at this roster and the height that these guys are going to bring, and Taft's going to have some problems. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing 7 foot, 6'7", 6'7", 6'11". You got guys committed to Virginia Tech and Illinois. Granted, Griffith and Elmore are studs in their own right. I don't know if the rest of their squad can hold up against that type of size. Gonna be a good game.
Absolutely. This might be your OT game.
Maybe. I'd love to see it. Really would love to see it. Although, there's a couple of those other ones that could be OT games. SoCal, Centerville, you know, Fairfield, St. Vincent, St. Mary's. And this is another really good game that these guys have matched up. Again, you don't know a ton about Combine, so you've got to go off of their schedule and their roster and seeing the type of talent that they've got. I would still have to ride with Combine in this one.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. It's a tough pick.
Would love to see Taft win that, but you're right. It's hard to pick against that roster and that resume.
Yeah. That takes us to our fourth game of the day. One away from the nightcap of the whole shebang. A little bit of an unknown here. We've got West Carrollton, local team. We know what they're bringing to the table. They're taking a team, Omnia Academy, out of Finland. Another country we're pulling in here. It's not just, you know, it's not just the U.S. and Canada. Now we're going overseas and pulling a Finland team. What do we know about these guys, if anything? Not much.
I don't think I know anything on these guys. This was a bit of a question mark when they brought these guys on, not knowing, you know, who they have. I can tell you everything you want to know about West Carrollton, though. You know, they've struggled a little bit to start the year. They had to deal with some pauses, I think COVID-related a few times. Big Sam Walker still there, their junior big.
Yep.
Great rebounder, one of the top rebounders and low post score players in the MVL. Senior Trey Dennis has been playing pretty well. They picked up Donovan Harden, who is a sophomore, came over from Trotwood. Mm-hmm. He's filled in well in that role. The problem with the Pirates are they are a young team. I think Dennis is their only senior that starts, I believe. That's kind of the same boat that we talked about with Trotwood. You know, that youth, it may be good, but when you start pairing them up against teams that have a little more experience, it's going to be hard to compete. And I think that not knowing much about Omnia, the fact that they are coming overseas, I got to give Eric Hortzman the benefit of the doubt that he brought over a good team.
I'm going to imagine, and I think the notes that were put up here just a couple of days ago by Flying to the Hoop said they've got a 6'10" kid that's averaging 24 and 13. They got another guy averaging almost 17, a couple other guys that are, you know, in the high single digits with some rebounds thrown in there. I've got to imagine that a team that's going to be traveling over from Finland is going to be able to handle a team the likes of West Carrollton. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, West Carrollton's got some good talent, but when you take a look at a team that's, you know, 4-4, overall 3-3 in the MVL itself, it's not a recipe for success against a team that's going to be traveling across the pond to come give us a game.
I think as long as Omnia is able to show up, jet lag isn't bothering them too much, I think they're a safe pick in this one.
I would say so. So that takes us to the cap of the whole thing. You've got the home hosting school in Kettering Fairmont taking on Woodward from down south here in Ohio out of the Cincinnati area. One thing I'll say before we get to breaking this down, I really like the fact that the organizers have moved them from opening the tournament on Friday night and pairing them up with some teams to getting them to the nightcap to where they can really showcase this team. And I think this year might be one of Fairmont's best teams in recent memory.
I would agree, and I will be honest with you. When this schedule came out, I was not a fan of this pick because I thought Woodward was going to have a field day, not knowing what Fairmont was going to bring to the table.
Field day no longer. No. Let's just say that for sure.
Fairmont has pretty much solidified they are a top 10 team in the state.
Yep.
And they do it with their 1-2 punch of Anthony Johnson and Desan Doucette.
Lethal scoring out of Anthony Johnson. Just absolute nightmare to try to guard. The kid's a lights out dagger from anywhere on the court, shooting wise, yet he's fast and explosive enough to get by people and get to the rim. And then you get the size and the athleticism from Doucette down low. You know Fairmont's coming in. They're going to be hungry. They're going to want this. And I think this is a game probably pretty similar to the Alter game that we saw. Because I think Woodward's, they're not an Alter for sure. But they've got some star power of their own that's going to make this a heck of a game.
Well, a 2,000-point score, to be exact.
Yeah.
Paul McMillan.
That's no small feat, either. No.
I mean, this guy can and will score at will. And he's not even – it's not like he's the only one that can score. They got other guys, Kanye Moreland, Rue Mills, Khalees Frye. Those three are, like, phenomenal players. And – at the end of the day, if you're able to stop McMillan, you got a chance.
Yep.
But, man, it is a tough feat for him at 6'2", 6'3", and just an ability to score at will. It's tough.
It's extraordinarily tough. I mean, anytime you got a kid that's averaging almost or over 30 points a game is going to be tough. Fairmont's strategy is going to be to come out, face guard the living snot out of him, similar to the way that they treated Jacob Connor and Alter. Dare the other guys to beat him, I think is going to be your recipe for Fairmont to come out of here. Ultimately, I think Fairmont rolls in this game, and the hosting team comes out on top, looking slick, coming out here with their only loss being to Centerville thus far. And I think Fairmont's headed for some showdowns the rest of this season, and could potentially play that spoiler team in D1 to somebody coming out of the Southwest region. I don't know if they'll be able to spoil Centerville, but they might be able to bounce somebody else earlier on in the tournament, because this is one heck of a Fairmont Firebirds team.
This is a completely different team than what we've seen in the past, and I think it takes a special team like that to win a big game on the big stage like this. I think the discipline's there. The defense is there. Yep. I think they're a safe pick. I think I'm going to go with them, too, to beat Woodward in this one.
So that is all 19 games this year instead of 20. We don't have the 8 o'clock game on Sunday night anymore, or at least not this year, good, bad, or otherwise. But as we're sitting here looking at this, Tony, we are less than 2 days away from tip.
Geeking much?
Just a little bit. I'm trying to put it into words, because we've just gone through all of these games and seen the level of competition that Eric's bringing in this year, the matchups, the way that they're able to put these together in such a way that it's going to be – I don't know that there's going to be many of those games where all of a sudden you go from sitting on the edge of your seat to kind of sitting back and kind of just taking it in because the game's a little out of hand one way or the other, or it's just not quite a matchup. There's one or two of those.
You always get them.
You're going to, because you're going to have a team that just – you know, the lights get a little too bright. The crowd gets to them from it being a packed house from some other games. Or, you know, you just end up having some unknowns sometimes with injuries, things of that nature. And when you set it up, you know, you think some teams are going to be different than what they end up being. Who knows? again, I think this is why Flying the Hoop is still one of the top-ranked showcases nationally. It's no different this year.
I would agree, and I think that it continues that tradition of just tradition of excellence, bringing in the best that you can, not just from Dayton, but from Ohio as a whole, and even going nationally.
Nationally, I mean, we got how many of those prep schools do we have? Four or five?
4 or 5 of them that are all nationally ranked. And
like, in the prep school, and then you've got 2 public schools nationally,
and you don't,
in Centerville and Wheeler.
And that's in the U.S. We don't know anything about this Omnia Academy. You're not wrong. They might end up being a top program out of Finland. So Eric does a great job of getting the right players and teams, like you said. I'm just glad we're here after last year not getting this event.
Thank God.
It's it was much needed. I know I'm a lot like you, being a basketball like writer. I like to take this event in more than write. Obviously, we all still do some stuff. It's a
of course
creatures of habit, but you know, it's good to just sit down and watch basketball and enjoy the beautiful game that it is, especially when it's in our backyard like this.
Yes, sir. And I've got to give another shout out to the organizers this year, because they went to reserve seats where you can pick them. And my happy rear end is going to be sitting down right at center court, about 5-6 rows up, Tony Peters.
Oh, am I not sitting with you this year?
Oh, no. You're right next to me, buddy. Right-hand man over here.
My man.
So we'll be there, guys. If you happen to listen to this, you see us. We should be repping our gear most of the weekend, or at least I plan on it. You darn well better, too, Mr. Peters. So I'm looking forward to it. We got, again, 2 days from now, we're going to be in that gym underway. That's about all I can say. I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
Same. I think that sums it pretty much up, man.
Cool.
So.
All right, brother. Well, it was good to be back. I'm ready to get back to it. I had some things going on. Got a little out here, but you'll have to come see us, guys. If you're out there, come say hi. Give us a wave. Give us a shout. Other than that, we get through this weekend. We'll start taking a look at some of the other games that will be coming to you for the rest of the season, and we'll be back then. Tony?
I think you got it, Seth.
Welcome back. Well, guys, thanks again for listening. We're Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. You can find us all over the place. Most every link is at SWOFCP, and certainly SWOFCP.com, as well as listening to these on any of your podcast listening sources. Cheers, boys.
See you guys.